We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Small Talk, a show about small business for small business. Here's your host, Mark Essley.
Good morning and welcome to Small Talk with Mark Essley on this Memorial Day weekend. Happy Memorial Day. Yes, we made it. We made it to the unofficial start of summer. And as you know, this is your source for entrepreneurship across the great city of Detroit, the state of Michigan, as well as across the country, because this show does air nationally via radio.com. Dope, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm ready for a three-day weekend.
Yes, yeah, Sunday.
Right in the middle of it right now. Exactly.
Oh, man. At least we made it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what this weather's going to do.
No.
It's going to be chance of rain again. I mean, for crying out loud.
But, you know, it's going to be above 70, so that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. And, and speaking above 70, do you think the Tigers will win above 70 games this year?
Current rate, no.
Giving up 70 runs a game.
We might lose 70 before June's over. I know
that. So who we got today?
We got the Mets in New York.
We got the Nets. Mets in the Big Apple.
That's right.
All right. We still love our Tigers. We know they're going through a rebuild, but you know what? It is what it is, and we always support our home team.
Right.
All right, just sit back and relax and enjoy a nice hot cup of coffee, as I always like to say on this Memorial Day weekend. We have a great lineup of guests, including our very first guest, Ms. Mary Buchsiger, and she's the president and CEO of Lucerne International, which is a leading global automotive supplier headquartered here in the Motor City area in Auburn Hills, Michigan. And they produce innovative cast stamp forged products for chassis, powertrains, and body structural applications. Mary, good morning, and thanks for joining me, and happy Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm looking forward to the barbecue.
Oh, gosh. I'm just looking forward to a little extra time off.
I know, that's right.
It's that long weekend. It's always nice.
Yeah, yeah. So you and I had an opportunity of meeting recently at a major event in downtown Detroit. We got into a great conversation. I've read about you in the paper. You're doing some great things here in Detroit. You have Lucerne International. Talk to us about your business.
Lucerne has been around now for about 20 years. I've been in this industry for a very long time, since I could walk, talk, and breathe. I've had the fortunate past of growing up surrounded by automotive, which I love. I just can't seem to get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
We provide cast, stamped, and forged components for the automotive industry.
And you were telling me, as we had a call last week, you referenced you basically just grew up around cars and the automobile. Did you say you were driving a truck or something?
Well, most kids got to go to summer camp.
Yeah, thank you. That's
right?
What it was.
So, but I, my father quit General Motors when I was in third grade, started his own business as a rep, and then got into supply chain management. So most kids got to go to summer camp. But when I was 8 years old and growing, you know, from that point growing up, I got ripped out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning in the summers to go to work with mom and dad because they couldn't afford childcare, growing their own business. Mm-hmm. So I grew up filing papers and working in an office environment until we got into a warehouse facility. I drove a high-low before I could
That's
drive
what
a car.
It was. Yeah.
I was 13 years old driving a high-low. So
well, you
of course,
don't want to say it too loud because you don't want the police to come
I, know,
at you,
I don't
right?
think that's legal now. Back then, it wasn't too frowned upon. So I was just free labor for my parents growing up.
So the industry is truly in your blood.
It really is. Yeah. My whole family, both my mother's side and my father's side, all of my aunts and uncles all worked at General Motors. So mm-hmm. they all come from the Flint area. So, of course, that's in my blood.
Yeah. And as we talk about the blood and speaking of blood, your father, as you referenced to me, you had a relationship with him. Did you buy him out or what was that? What was that story?
I did. So I came back to work for him, went and did my own thing for quite some time, went off to college. I was on the 10-year plan in college. So I finally came back here in 1998 and started working for him. Around 2005, there was a company that he had partnered with just sitting there kind of empty, not really doing much. And at the time, I was seeing all of our work go offshore, and we were all domestic. So I said, hey, Dad, you know, can I do something with this? And it was kind of like one of those hand waves. Yeah, go ahead, kid, give it a shot, you know.
Yeah.
So I went offshore, made some contacts, went into Asia, and then went and sold our first program. And within 2 years, my company was bigger than his.
You know, as a parent, don't we always want our kids to do better than us, right?
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's a real good example.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a great example.
So you want to hire me?
I was How'd Dad feel about that?
Yeah.
I think he was pretty proud. So I eventually took over his business. He retired in 2008. And then in 2016, I combined both businesses under one brand, which is Lucerne. And that's the business that my father started.
And what's interesting, though, Mary, is that as we live here in Detroit, the Detroit area, the home of the automotive industry still, and historically has been primarily domestic focused. Now we know there's this thing called globalization that's taking place for the last several years. We heard about the news this past week about the Ford Motor Company and the restructuring that we're going that they're going through. So we want to certainly give our levels thoughts and prayers to those out there going as part of this restructuring. But as I was reading the analysis, they're preparing themselves for the future in this mobility space, the autonomous space. And where I'm going with my comment, I know they have a very strong global presence. Your business, you have really grown internationally.
We have. I love global business. It's where my heart's at. Especially in this industry, though, you can't just sit in a box in Michigan and really be effective, right? You could be if you don't, you know, have big plans to grow and grow exponentially, which we do. I want to continue to grow the business. I've got a great team behind me, and we want to continue to grow it worldwide to be able to support our customers worldwide.
How many employees do you have?
Just under 40 employees. Okay, right.
Yeah, and so you're out of Auburn Hills, Michigan. Mm-hmm. Is that your corporate headquarters? Do you have other locations regionally or across the country?
Yeah, we've got offices in Shanghai, China. We're working on offices in Frankfurt, Germany. Mm-hmm. Engineering offices. Hopefully, in the next 18 months, we'll have a presence there. And we've got a couple of reps in Korea at this moment, too.
We're talking to Mary Buchsiger, and she is the president and CEO of Lucerne International, a leading global automotive supplier headquartered in Auburn Hills, Michigan. Interesting article this past week with you in the Detroit Free Press. And I kind of want to shift gears because it's very topical. We're talking about tariffs and the impact that tariffs could have on businesses. And you have some thoughts in the article, so I'll let you kind of share your perspective. So my initial question is, you know, a lot of people, you understand the concept of tariffs. Mm-hmm. I understand the concept of tariffs, but maybe the average person listening this morning may not be sure what exactly a tariff is. So let's start with the very basic. What is a tariff?
So basically, a tariff is a tax on an imported good in this, what we're talking about here. And they're necessary. They're absolutely necessary, especially, you know, to balance trade and to ensure that we're protecting our jobs here on the side of the ocean. And I agree with the tariffs, and I think that they're there for a reason. The issue that I have right now with the tariffs are there's no long-term stability, right? We can't make plans because with this latest round of the 301 tariffs that our government imposed, we got a tweet on Sunday, and then the White House said, yep, on Friday, the tariffs go into effect. Mm. So 5 days, and that just doesn't give you enough time to plan and to react. So I think, you know, the things that are happening with China, the tariffs that we're imposing, I think that they're needed, but that being said, we just need to be able to give businesses time to react and time to make plans. Because right now, you know, we just talked about Ford and the restructuring. Mm-hmm. You look at how these tariffs are impacting the Detroit 3 right now, and they're really painful to their bottom line.
You know, what's interesting about that, too, is I was reading about Ford. I don't know if you saw the same article. Yeah, we know they laid off, reducing 7,000 jobs globally, I believe.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But there was an analysis written right after that. I don't know if you saw this, that an analyst out of New York suggesting they need to cut 23,000 jobs.
Wow.
23,000 jobs. And if you look at the sheer impact of the numbers, and I think the worldwide employment base is over 200,000 or something along those lines, and we have 50,000 Ford employees here in Metro Detroit. Now, I'm a direct function of the Ford family.
Okay.
My mom, you know, retired from Ford, and Ford got me through college and things like that, so we know the financial impact that's going to happen across this region.
Yeah.
But as we talk about those types of restructuring, and, you know, and as I started reading the analysis, I kept thinking to myself, Is this a direct result? I think I know the answer, but is this a direct result of the tariff discussion? Are they trying to get ahead of the curve, or is this something they've been having to do for years?
I think, you know, I wouldn't, and I don't know the answer to that specific to the Ford case, but I'm certain that the tariffs have had some kind of impact on the decisions. And obviously, we know that they've had an impact on the bottom line. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that they take that into consideration, right? How is this going to impact us, and what do we have to do to negate those? Mm-hmm. So I think in Ford's case, the restructuring, from what I've heard and the rumblings, is that they're really just trying to reorganize and become more efficient, because as we look at the automotive industry, there's so much disruption. It's such an exciting time.
Yeah,
I've been in it my whole life, and just to see what's happening right now, you know, you've got autonomy, mobility, electrification, and it's crazy to see these companies from the West Coast now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've got players in automotive that you would have never imagined. Apple coming into the automotive space. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, Microsoft. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of these companies that are coming in and want to be a piece of the mobility industry, it's really exciting. So, I know that Ford is taking a look at that and trying to restructure and kind of get rid of that old, it's the way things have always been done in the automotive industry frame of mind, so that we can become more competitive and keep our place in the industry as, you know, the Motor City capital.
And as we talk about, though, the 25% increase, mm-hmm. and the first question is, will that be passed on ultimately to consumers? I know you're primarily B2B, I think. Mm-hmm. But my question is, when a 25% number, and I know that the president has delayed the increases on steel and I believe autos and things like that for a 6-month window. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's a Section 232 tariffs.
What does that mean?
Yeah, there's a potential of putting a tariff, or a tax rather, on all imported automotive parts and all imported automobiles. And that would be a 25% import tax, which would just create rippling effects through our industry and really the economy as a whole, and it would be devastating.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's been put off for a little bit, but who knows what's going to happen, right? Because the tariffs have been put off before, and then, you know, a snap of the fingers, they're back on. So that's the part that's really frustrating, is not knowing what to plan for right now.
Yeah, a couple of minutes remaining. As we talk about the not knowing the future, I mean, I think to me that's really the challenge from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to encourage, if you're listening this morning, I know it's Memorial Day weekend, we're all relaxing, enjoying some barbecue, but I do want you to stay on top of this business issue. I want you to stay on top of the news here when it comes to tariffs. I think a lot of us still are not clear on exactly the potential impact it could have on you as a consumer. Don't assume it may not affect you.
Right.
Anything, as we get into this fear, it can impact you from a business standpoint. If you're an entrepreneur and you're listening this morning, listen to me closely. Also, it could impact your business. I had someone on last week. They do work for the Detroit Tigers, and they also do, I've had another business owner, and she's a very successful business owner as well, and she talked about the potential impact on their businesses depending on where they go with the tariffs. And what they're saying is they import things from China.
Right.
That's where most of the things are coming in from that they sell to the Tigers. And
right.
To the other So it could have a short and medium term impact on how you do business as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It'll affect you from top to bottom when it comes to clothing, cars, anything. It can really make an impact.
Well, I want to say we have a closing minute or so. You know, I I've been tracking. You've been doing some great things. And just, we wish you much continued success in all that you're doing. What would you like to say in closing, including a website?
So if you want to check us out, our website's lucerneintl.com. Just thanks a lot for having me. You know, I'd love to keep these discussions open and let people know what's happening with us and also with the industry as a whole and what we're doing out there to be advocates for our industry.
Well, hopefully we have you come back on. We'll continue the conversation as well.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thanks. Mary Buxiger, we want to thank her for coming in from Lucerne International of Auburn Hills, Michigan. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
You too.
My pleasure. There'll be more guests after this commercial break.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Eske on this Memorial Day weekend. You know, before we proceed, Doug, I want to say we need to honor those who have sacrificed their lives for our great country.
Yes, we do. My dad was an Army officer, and my dad was not an Army officer, but he served as navigation, and my brother was also a navigator in the Air Force. So, yeah, and we salute these people because we know how much they gave for us, mm-hmm. you know, and continue to do so. So,
okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
And my dad was an Army captain, so we just want to make sure that we give the proper due. We know we're going to be barbecuing and enjoying this first unofficial weekend of summer, but there's a true meaning behind Memorial Day.
Exactly.
And let's make sure we keep those in our thoughts and prayers, and all those who are still serving us today to keep this great country safe. All right. We're going to continue the conversation this morning with a no stranger to Small Talk with Mark Eske, Ms. Brenda Miller, and she's the founder, president, and recently promoted, and she's going to talk to you about that in a second, of Miller Marketing. Brenda, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Mark. It's so great to see you again.
Absolutely. Always great to see you. We were having some good laughs during the commercial break, huh?
We have.
And we'll come back to what you gave me a minute
okay,
ago.
Okay, sure.
We're going to tease them a little bit. Talk to us briefly about Miller Marketing.
Sure. So I kind of started it out several years ago as a side hustle. I had a little bit of a knack for social media and LinkedIn and, you know, really sharing my expertise of marketing with others. And then I leaned fully into it and launched Miller Marketing, where I now help people and businesses unlock the power of LinkedIn. And I also do some social media management and marketing consulting work as well.
You know, and as we talk about social media, I do want to ask you about LinkedIn. But let me just back up for a second. And before we get into the LinkedIn discussion, talk about the power of social media, Brenda. Okay, you're very active on social media. How has it helped you and your business continue to amplify your key messages?
Yeah, absolutely. I think social media is just, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, when I first started out, you know, the first network I was on was LinkedIn, and it's the professional networking site. And then you've got Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all these other wonderful networks that have popped up. And I think the amazing thing about social media is it allows us a way to creatively connect with audiences from across the world. And that can be our current customers. It can be people from, gosh, Australia and the UK and different places that we never would have had connections to otherwise. And we can really get to know those people.
You know, and you talk about social media. You and I have known each other for a long time now. It works. I mean, I go places and people now, they stop me and they feel like they know me, or they just give me all types of acknowledgement for the things that I will be posting, whatever it might be. And it really has become an integral part of my overall strategy from a business standpoint.
Absolutely. And I think we start conversations with people online and social. And even you and I, Mark, I mean, we don't see each other that mm-hmm. often in person, but I feel like I know what's going on in right. your life, and I know what's going on with your business and with your show here as well. And it helps us to stay connected in ways that we really couldn't before.
And I think that's the way, if you do it the right way, especially from a business standpoint, that's what you want to do, is you want people to feel like they know you and they're up to speed on the types of businesses or things you might be working on as well.
Absolutely. And I think the people that really get it, and I would put you in that category, Mark, too, you're not selling all the time.
No.
You're more engaging.
Right.
You're talking about other people. You're talking about experiences, and you're tagging businesses and organizations. And I think that's the real power. And there's no secret to social media, but I think if there was one, that would be one of those. You know, focus more on other people than you do on yourself.
I'm tired of people beating your own chest. I really am. That's one of my pet peeves.
Yeah.
Is I'd rather have, you know, I just believe in providing the platform and the opportunity and sharing the information. But, you know, sometimes I get turned off when I see people just constantly beating their own chest.
Sure. Yeah.
That's just my personal opinion. But you recently got promoted to Miller Marketing, your company. You got promoted by the boss.
My boss promoted me.
What'd
it was
your boss
really
do?
Great. So my boss and I, we at our last annual performance
Uh-oh.
Review, we sat down and we talked about my annual goals. And I said, I've been setting some goals for myself and my business, revenue goals that I wanted to achieve. And I had a stretch goal. And when I set it, I'm like, I don't know if I'm ever going to reach this goal. But I had a monthly stretch goal in terms of revenue. And I wrote it on a whiteboard. And underneath the number, I wrote, you can do this. And
okay.
I was looking at it for probably 8 or 9 or 10 months. And I had a friend. I told her, you know, when I reach this goal, I'm promoting myself to CEO of my company. And she bought me this really cool whiteboard. It says CEO tasks. And when I reached my revenue goal, and I just reached it in April. And I'm still kind of like, I can't believe it, but I also can because I know how much work went into to getting there. But when I reached my goal, I did the unwrap of the board that she got for me, and I did a video on social, and my niece got me a t-shirt the other day. So last week, I just did a video announcing that I promoted myself, and I've decided to change my title a little bit. So I'm the Chief Engagement Officer of Mellor Marketing.
So what were you before?
So before I was owner and marketing consultant. So now I've given myself a little bit of that lift up.
Did you take the family out to dinner to celebrate?
You know, I should do that. Actually, we've got, you know, maybe instead of barbecuing tonight, we'll go out to dinner and celebrate.
That's go out and celebrate.
Chris would love that. I would say that. Yeah.
How's Chris doing, by the way?
He's doing great.
He's just dying right now. The Tigers and everybody's losing.
Yeah, he's always yelling at the TV about some sport.
Her husband, Chris Mellor, who's been on Small Talk as well, is a diehard Detroit sports fan. And I remember earlier, I had to kind of say, Chris, it's okay. Calm down. I've heard it just kind of like,
No, I think he's really glad that there are people like you, Mark, that feel his pain.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
We can all feel it. I also want to talk to you before we hone, let's hone in on LinkedIn. Let me back up. We'll come back to this later. But you made a decision while social media, you have Facebook and Snapchats and Twitters. And why do you focus on LinkedIn? What was your premise for focusing on LinkedIn almost exclusively?
You know, it's a really good question. I think thinking back, it was the first social network that I got active on. I joined LinkedIn in 2006. I was anti-Facebook because why do I as a married woman want to be on Facebook? But I had to embrace it for my last job and really ramp up the social media community. So I think there's utility for each of the applications. I think there's a lot of businesses that are on each of the social networks. For me personally, I think because I was one of the early adopters of the network, I really figured out how to use it. I was self-taught, and I had that ability to bring my marketing background into this professional networking site and leverage it for my company, for visibility for the organizations I was working for. But then I had this knack of teaching it to others. And there's a lot of people out there that, you know, I know there's Tammy Pereira. She's my Facebook go-to person. There's Instagram people. Courtney Mackey's a person I will often refer people out there. There's people on Twitter. There's YouTube experts. Matt Dibble's a great video guy. But I've kind of embraced LinkedIn, and that's my sweet spot. In terms of all the networks.
Any concern that it might become limiting long-term?
You know, it's a great question. So when I first launched my business, I didn't want to just focus in on LinkedIn because I didn't want to put all of my eggs in one basket and then risk that one network goes away. I think there's still a lot of potential. You know, we've seen some changes happening on LinkedIn since Microsoft bought out the site. I'm paying attention. There's another site out there called Alignable, which seems like a little bit of a spring off of LinkedIn. So I definitely want to kind of keep my eyes and ears aware of where the network might be heading in the future. But I think right now there's growth. There's people that are leaving Facebook, coming over to LinkedIn. Oh, yeah. I hear it all the time, people coming to LinkedIn saying, gosh, this is a friendly site and it's all business. I don't have the drama that I have on Facebook. And then the next question is, how do I use it for my business?
Yeah.
And then we get talking.
Let me tell you real quick about the young people leaving Facebook. I see it every single day. As you all know, I'm an adjunct at Eastern Michigan. A lot of my students have just cut the cord with Facebook.
Yeah,
and they're moving on. In fact, this is what they will say in class. I said, well, how do you guys still feel about Facebook? They say, oh, that's the old people's network. That's how they view it. Yeah. They view it as more mature people kind of getting together and posting pictures, and they moved on to the other social media platforms. And one that they moved on to, it's almost a requirement at Eastern Michigan. Now they have to learn how to use LinkedIn.
Really? Yeah, that's great. And I think it's really a great, it's not a job search network. It's a professional networking site.
Exactly.
And if you can figure out how to use it for yourself, it really can act as an extension of your brand and your online presence for yourself.
And you also do programs like, what do we call it, how to be a rock star in 15 minutes? What's
so I do a lot of different kind of initiatives. And I think what you're referring to is I started tracking for myself. And I have a friend, his name's John Asperian. He's in the UK and he does technical copywriting. And he was posting once upon a time his own stats on LinkedIn. And I was like, wow, it's really interesting that you're tracking these things. So I started identifying people that I kind of deem LinkedIn rock stars, people that are really rocking it on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. They have large networks. They're posting on a regular basis. And I started tracking it in an Excel spreadsheet. And I wanted to measure myself against them. So rather than just looking at followers, I look at follower growth week over week. And that's the metric, percentage growth of followers week over week. So I started tracking, and I've now got a list of around 90 people. I try to keep an even split of men and women. And I track them week over week. And about a month ago, I started publishing, and I put it on a Saturday morning. And it was just out yesterday, and the new rock stars are engaging with it right now. But it ranks people by percent of follower growth. And what I've found is, this is another technique I talked about earlier, talking about other people has given me visibility. And really, I mean, I'm doing this for, you know, just to share the information, but people are really finding it useful. And I've had so many people that have appeared on the list that have reached out and thanked me because it's given them a boost in their follower count and a boost in their business visibility.
We're talking to Brenda Miller, and she just got promoted at a new company, not new, but at her own company called Miller Marketing. And you've been promoted to what again?
Chief Engagement Officer.
Thank you.
It's CEO, but I want it to be a little different because I can do that.
Yeah,
right?
I know you can. You can do whatever
I want.
And speaking of doing things, I know you got an event that's upcoming.
I do.
But before we go down there, speaking of doing things, because you can, you go pies.
I do. I love pies.
Okay, Doug, what kind of pie did you get over there?
I got cherry.
You got cherry?
Yes.
I got an apple pie.
There you go.
All right. So what is, talk to us briefly about this pie
so
thing.
So the backstory, it's
the
actually kind of funny. So, you know, I'm a marketer and I always like to bring in new themes and whatnot to my presentations. And once upon a time, I brought a pie theme into my PowerPoint template. It was pies in the background. And I've always loved pies. You know, there's the bacon people. You know who they are. In my network, it's Michael Lessett. She's the bacon guy. And then there's the cupcake people. Amber Carden is the cupcake person in my network. But there's not many people that love pie. And I really do. I love pie. And one of my earliest memories is my mom used to bake in the Michigan State Fair, and she entered a pie baking contest, and it was a mother-daughter contest. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of those memories that resonates. So I started really, I liked pie, and I started bringing pies into my presentations, and I do a pie giveaway when I speak now. So if you hire me, I bring a pie, I give it away to your attendees. And it's like winning the lottery for these people. Like,
yeah.
They never win anything, and they win this pie. And so I now have a hashtag social media pie. I've actually reserved socialmediapie.com, redirects to Meller Marketing, seeing where that might go.
Idea.
But really, it's really about, you know, there's a lot of analogies to pie to marketing. It's all about the crust, you know, and what that looks like on the outside, and
I'm
what the
hungry.
Filling is on the inside, and there's different varieties. Pie is something you share, you know, it's not something like a cupcake like you eat by yourself. It's something you share with others. So it's become part of my personality.
Yeah. And are you getting hungry yet?
I'm there.
Okay.
I just keep looking at this box going, I'm going for it.
Let's finish the show. Hurry up.
Right.
Breakfast is right there.
I know that's right. Well, I know we got about a minute and a half remaining. And speaking of pies, and people will have an opportunity to, I'm sure, to win a pie. You have an upcoming event that you're doing.
I do. Yeah. So I have organized a LinkedIn-a-thon, if you will. So you've heard of bowl-a-thons and walk-a-thons and whatnot as fundraisers. So I'm an ambassador with the American Cancer Society's Research HERS program, which is supporting female researchers that are looking to find a cure or treatment options for people with cancer. My mom passed away from cancer when she was just 46 years old, and I'm now 44, so I'm in that time of her life where she was going through this. So I've always wanted to do something meaningful, so I signed up to be a fundraiser for this campaign, and I brought together six other experts in the area to speak on different topics on LinkedIn, how to rock on LinkedIn, how to use LinkedIn for job search, the difference between articles and posts. So I've got Terry Bean, Heather Coleman, Voss. I've got Kristen Olson Scott. We've got Eric S. Thomas, and I've got Greg Coyne coming out to join me. So this will be this coming Friday, May 31st, at the American Cancer Society in Southfield. There's no cost to register. Mm-hmm. All I ask is that you make a donation to the American Cancer Society for the fundraising.
How
program.
Can they register?
So they can go to MellerMarketing.com, click on events, and you can see the link out on there. And I'll also be, if you're listening to this on the radio, I'll be tweeting a link out shortly here to share that
and
with
trust
you.
Trust me, she will be tweeting. She is a live tweeter. We all know Brenda.
You can pretty much on any social network look up Meller Marketing. You will see LinkedIn-a-thon on there. And do encourage you to invite your coworkers, invite your family members. If you have a college student who's just learning how to use LinkedIn, Mark, you know, Eastern Michigan, if you've got folks that are done with school, send them on out. There's no charge to attend. I mean, they could donate $5 and get a day's worth of training.
Well, I'm up against the clock, so thank you very much for coming in. We encourage everybody to go to MellerMarketing.com and check it out. Have a wonderful Memorial Day tomorrow as well.
Thank you so much, Mark. Have a
Absolutely.
Great week.
Thank you. There'll be more guests after this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley on this Memorial Day weekend. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Esley here on AM 1270 in the Motor City. This Memorial Day weekend, we want you all to sit back and relax and enjoy the first unofficial summer of the first unofficial weekend of the summer, if you will. I apologize for that. And because, you know, this time is going to fly by. But as you know, at this part of the show, I have to give my shout outs here. And if you're listening here in Detroit, you might be sitting back and listening to us on AM 1270 for giving me a forum each and every single week to have a conversation with you. Or you might be sitting back reading your free press and listening to us. Or you might be listening across the country, across our many .coms. We have SoundCloud.com, WWJNewsRadio.com, EliteGroupInnovation.com, Radio.com, and TheHubDetroit.com. Now, you might be sitting and listening in your local market, reading your local newspaper, and listening to us as well. Just sit back and relax and enjoy the conversation over that nice hot cup of coffee on this Memorial Day weekend with our very next special guest, Mr. Brandon Bryce. And Brandon is a fundraising professional, strategic communications consultant, executive for the Boy Scouts of America. Brandon, good morning, and thanks for joining me, and happy Memorial Day.
All right. That was a big title, man.
Well, this is what it says. What is all that? What did you say?
I'm just an executive with the Boy Scouts of America.
Well, you need to change that.
I do a little bit of everything.
you need to change that, man. I tell you, the Boy Scouts of America, and I mean, give us the backstory. Everybody's heard of Boy Scouts.
Sure.
But kind of give us a backstory. But get the backstory in context of where we are in 2019 with the Boy Scouts of America and the direction you think it might be going in.
So, Mark, we are more needed now than ever. I actually oversee the Exploring Program, which is the workforce development arm of the Boy Scouts of America. So most people know our traditional scouting side and the scout law, the scout oath. I actually oversee the Exploring Workforce Development Program, which is co-ed, and it serves more than 3,000 youth in the metro Detroit area and helps them get exposed to real career opportunities. And so that's why I said it's more needed now, because we're not only talking about getting folks, getting young people exposed to work and back to work, but we're also talking about how do we help them with character building, and how do we help them show up on time and do a good work and do a good job to keep the job. And so those are the tenets that are so very important in 2019.
Is it a challenge, Brandon, to get the kids engaged in the Boy Scouts? I remember growing up. Right, I mean, it was just a given that you're going to be a Cub Scout, then a Weeblo,
Eagle Scout, and then Explorer, Venturer. Right. I mean, there's so many opportunities in the Scouts.
Yeah, they have so many distractions nowadays, and everything else that's taking place.
Well, and you know what? It's funny because what I like about the work that we do through the Exploring Program is literally, back in the day when somebody asked you, "Well, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And you said, "I want to be a doctor." And he said, "Oh, well, good luck." Mm-hmm. Now we can actually get them exposed and on deck to become that if that's something that they truly want to do. And part of what we do it, we do it through exploring programs where we have over 12 different programs in the industry. We offer aviation programs and business and finance programs, skilled trades programs, health and science programs, American Axle programs. I'll give you a quick story. We actually have a post at American Axle. And to our shock, we actually had multiple Islamic and Bengali young girls interested in the program, interested in our engineering program. And so what that's doing, I mean, when you talk about bringing back Michigan's middle class, exploring is doing that. Because it's getting kids the opportunity to be exposed to something that, quite frankly, they either have an interest in, or if they're in the program, they say, you know what? I don't quite think this is what I originally wanted to do, but there's value in that.
So it's no longer just going camping.
It's an addition. I mean, that's
now,
our
camping. Camping is always the core.
Camping is always our core, but that's the scouting side.
Right.
Exploring, which starts from 14 through 20, and also now we have Exploring Clubs, which is a middle school program. So think of that more as a career show and tell.
Gotcha.
And so, a doctor, a judge, a police officer comes to the school and talks about, this is what I do, and this is how what you're learning now equates to the real world that we're doing. It's exposure.
Yeah, so you're expanding from when I was younger, mm-hmm. and I was in the Boy Scouts for a long time.
Me too.
We all were, and we would go camping, and we would have our activities at the basement of the local church in those days. And but we didn't have the old the exposure component that you're referencing.
Well, it's interesting. The Exploring Program has been around since 1949.
Yeah, no idea.
You would know it then as the Police Cadet Program.
Gotcha.
And so we've been around. Now take it, 50 years later, 70 years later, we're expanding to say, how do we get, there's so many opportunities that are not being exposed to our young people, skilled trades being another big one, where, you know, by the time a kid is exposed at 16, it's too late.
Yeah.
And so you've got to start at 12 talking about how do we get our young people exposed in these careers and just say, hey, have you ever thought about being a doctor, being a pilot, which there's a shortage of African-Americans and pilots and Hispanic-Americans in the aviation field, health sciences. You know, we've got even a program with Beaumont Mobile Community Health on their EMS and EMT programs because they're seeing a shortages of paramedics. And so we're talking about how do we just say, what do you want to be when you grow up and how do we get you there?
You know, I mean, I think that's a brilliant strategy.
Yeah.
And back in the day, too, did we used to call like show and tell?
We did.
I mean, essentially, was that the idea? Sometimes, but, like, you know, you would invite a parent in.
That's right.
Right?
And that's right.
It maybe wasn't show and tell. I forget what they called it.
Well, our clubs are really career show and tells because all we're doing is we're saying, it's one thing. So a couple of things. My father, who's a retired state trooper, I was talking to him one day, and he said, well, how... I said, Dad, how did you become a state trooper? Because my dad was one of the first African-American state troopers in the early 80s when you didn't see African-American or black state troopers.
Yeah.
And so he was in one of the earlier classes. And he said when he was a kid in middle school, a state trooper came to visit the school. And he said, that's what I wanted to be when I grew up.
I know something.
And 30 years later, he's a retired state trooper, put in 30 years with the state. And so it's amazing what a little bit of exposure can do for our kids.
And speaking of a state trooper, I have a good friend of mine who will be retiring August the 30th after 37 years.
Okay, yeah.
It's the only job he's ever had out of college. And he's a wonderful young man. But we're talking to Brandon Bryce, and he's the executive with the Boy Scouts of America. We have just reduced that long title.
I do all that other stuff on the side. No. But it's an amazing program. And it's interesting because I like the fact that the Boy Scouts of America is through exploring and workforce development programs is really getting into almost a social justice program of how do we expose those children who may be underrepresented? How do we get them involved in programs that guarantee their futures?
Well, and now it's more needed than ever before.
Absolutely.
You know, we know what our country's going through in terms of just the political discussions, which is a business show. Yep. We know what's going on in terms of other things that are happening, and kids are feeling, somewhat strained. And I think that, we had a discussion in a previous segment about social media and how we're always connected to social media. Sometimes it's good to have our kids have face-to-face conversations.
That's right.
At the end of the day, it's about relationships.
Well, and one thing I like about the program, we not only expose youth to early workforce careers, but through those careers, they learn, don't put everything on social media.
Yeah, that's exactly
They learn how to show up on time. They learn the consequences when you don't show up on time. They learn, how to do the job and continue to do the job until it's done and not until 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's little things like that. That, I wish all of our kids in Detroit, 3,000 kids that we serve is not enough. I wish we served 30,000 kids. Maybe your show helped us get to 30,000 kids. But we've got programs in Oakland County, Macomb County, and Wayne County. And one other thing is, one of the things I like to see, being that we're the only co-ed program in the Scouts, if you want to talk about now, we, allow girls in our packs. But we've been co-ed for a very long time. Is that it's interesting to see young women taking on the mantle to take some of the careers that traditionally have not been female focused areas. And so, we support that. You're seeing more women in law enforcement, more women in the sheriff's office programs, more women in the U.S. Customs Office programs, more women in the health sciences programs. And so it's a great program for Michigan. And I think when our youth benefit, Michigan benefits.
And talking about women, you're going to be celebrating Women in Public Safety.
Yes.
You have a major event that's upcoming. Talk to us about that.
June 12th. I'm going to say it again. June 12th, 6 to 9 at Miller Canfield. We are honoring four, not one, not two, not
Listen
three.
To these names.
But four women in public safety. We have Undersheriff or Deputy Sheriff Elizabeth Darga from Macomb County. We have the Kim Worthy, Wayne County Prosecutor. We have former U.S. Attorney Barbara McQuaid. And we have the up-and-coming, the rising I need to go into sports, man.
I know, you sound good, man.
The rising first assistant deputy police chief, Lashinda Stair. And we also have the legacy, okay, I can't even hype him up. He needs to hype up. Our MC for the evening is going to be Huel Perkins from Fox 2. And the point of the program, A, is to highlight these four wonderful women who have done amazing things in law enforcement and public safety. But the other part of that is we're actually going to have the girls from our cadet programs, from the Macomb County Sheriff's Office, from the Dearborn Police Department, from the Detroit Police Department. We're going to have young girls giving the awards and talking about how the program is relevant to them. It's an amazing opportunity. Come and support it. Or come and support it fiscally and help support our programs so we can increase the number of young youth, men, boys and girls, men and young men and women, to expose them to early careers through exploring.
I have a daughter. My daughter's now an adult, of course, but when she was young, we did just that.
Yeah.
We exposed her to everything.
Everything.
And I think that's what we need to do. As we continue to grow, and this country continues to evolve, as our city continues to evolve and rebrand itself, reimage itself, look, women are powerful tools.
That's well, you know what,
and they have role models.
That's right.
And let's get the role models in front of them. Let's expose them to the opportunities out there for all people.
You know, my father, I told you, was a state trooper. My mother was actually a police officer for Detroit Police, and it's interesting because you know this conversation, Mark, is not just about the scouts or the exploring program or getting young people engaged in early careers. This is a conversation, Mark, about bringing back Detroit's middle class.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, we all remember, you know, we go about a minute and a half to go, but we all remember when you know, the middle class was completely, it was just—
Detroit created the middle class.
That's the bottom line. This city, in fact, actually created the middle class, and we know, we've heard about the middle class flight amongst other things, but now it's an opportunity to kind of bring it back.
You've got
to do it strategically, and this is another first step in helping us to do that, getting people engaged in the program. One more time, give us the particulars on that date.
June 12th, Exploring Detroit, Celebrating Women in Public Safety, 6 to 9, Miller Canfield, downtown. Get there early. See you soon.
Well, we got about a little bit less than a minute remaining. Okay. Anything you want to say in closing about other programs or initiatives with the Boy Scouts of America?
Well, you know, in addition, so I'm going to take this opportunity to plug. I mean, exploring is great. We do great work, but also for young people. You know, our scouting programs are still relevant, more relevant than they probably have ever been. And I think when we talk about, you know, the benefits that we see from scouting, I mean, let's look at some of our, you know, most prominent scouts. I mean, George Lucas was an Eagle Scout.
Okay.
The director, Steven Spielberg, was an Eagle Scout. Coleman Young made it very high up in scouting, although he was not an Eagle Scout. I mean, these are prominent people who changed the world through the tenets of scouting.
And with your passion, man, I can tell other people are going to be changed because you're very passionate. Brandon Bryce, we thank you very much for coming in, man, and happy Memorial Day weekend to you.
Same to you.
You mean that barbecue? I'm getting hungry, man. What's some barbecue? Right.
Hey, man, I'm trying to stay away from the swine.
I know that's
but, you know, we might throw some chicken on the, you know, throw some shrimp. But, no, we're just, I think the holidays, we're just going to kind of take it easy, and then we got our camps coming up.
Outstanding. That's Brandon Bryce of the Boy Scouts of America. There'll be more guests at this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Yesi on this Memorial Day weekend. Good morning, and welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Yesi. We hope you're sitting back and having a nice hot cup of coffee on this first unofficial weekend of the summer. Yes, it's Memorial Day weekend, and tomorrow is Memorial Day, and we want you all to go out and have a safe and wonderful weekend, because we know how fast summer flies in our beautiful state and our beautiful city. But I'm going to take as much time and enjoy this warm weather over the next several months as possible. All right, with that as a backdrop, our very special next guest is Miss Yvette Jenkins, and she owns Love Travels Imports, which is a fair trade artisan-made women's accessories, home decor, and gifts that delight the lifestyle brand. Yvette, good morning. Thanks for joining me, and happy Memorial Day weekend to you.
Good morning. Thank you for welcoming me.
My pleasure. So glad to have you. And before we get started, someone gifted you the interview opportunity this morning. Who are they?
Yes, the Michigan Women Forward, Lori, gifted this to me.
Lori Lesby.
Yes. I love that organization. They have been extremely helpful, supportive from day one.
And they gifted you the event because this interview opportunity, because you went to an event recently. What was the event that you went to?
It was your workshop. Yes, it was held at Tech Town. It was I think really a wonderful experience. I would say that the keynote speakers were really very key. And I like the fact that there was also a breakout session, but Miss Allen and what she had to share about her entrepreneurial journey, and then Tommy Walker as he talked about his entrepreneurial journey. I mean, those kind of stories are the kind of thing that gives you, I would say, hope, you know, and inspiration as you move forward in doing this kind of thing, because being an entrepreneur is not for the weak of heart.
And Tanya Allen, refresh your memory. She owns Forever Fresh, which is a line of undergarments for women. And she also owns several restaurant concepts at Metro Airport. And then Tommy Walker Jr. Also is the founder and the creator of Detroit Versus Everybody. So it was a wonderful experience. Let's talk about you and talk about your business. So you've been in business, I think, for about 5 years. Is that right?
Yes. We're about five, going on 6 years in terms of the Love Travels Imports. This all started when I was downsized, you know, when that whole economic downturn was happening. And as I was sharing with your previous guest, one of the things that I've been known to do is that if you don't have an opportunity, create an opportunity. So creating this business was creating that opportunity for myself.
You know, and the business that you created is Love Travels Imports. Exactly. That's a unique name. So what is it? You know, specifically about the business, what is it?
You know, it's so funny how that name came about. It originally started as YMJ Consulting Group because I have a marketing and sales background. And when I was downsized, that's the kind of activity I was doing, working with different artisan groups. And I was doing the downtown Detroit days.
And, way back in the
day. Just a few years ago, when Somerset. Somerset started that. And so I was meeting with them, and they love the products that I carry and the story behind it, because it's really about the story and relationship. Anyway, they're like, that is not a very sexy name, YMJ Consulting, you know, as they're thinking about it, probably marketing the downtown Detroit days. And so I said, well, I have another name. And it was the Love Travels Imports. Now, the products I started with were these beautiful handcrafted bags, and they have a tagline, spread the love. I love to travel and have been traveling since I was 17 years old. And so the love traveling from South Africa, where these were made, to Detroit and other places, Love Travels Imports.
So, and that's become the, that's the business name right now. So now, do you get most of your work or most of your artisans, if you will, from South Africa? Where are you getting most of the products that you're servicing?
Well, that was the first country was South Africa. The but I work, I go to Peru, Guatemala, and Haiti, in addition to South Africa. So I work with artisans in all of those areas. But let me tell you a little brief story about my first trip to Africa, which was Senegal. I went to Western Africa, and I saw this one artisan, and she had the most amazing, beautiful bag. And if you know, Senegal is French-speaking. So I went over to her, and she spoke English, beautiful English. And when I said, oh, how did you learn to speak English? She said, I'm self-taught in seven languages. She said, I'm a single mother, and I have to raise my children. And so when these people come from other countries, I need to be able to communicate with them to sell my wares. I was so impressed with that story. And I said, if this woman could do that, then what would be holding me back from creating a business that can make impact?
So for those listening, and we're talking to Yvette Jenkins, and she's the owner, founder of Love Travels Imports. Exactly, for those listening, because not everybody knows, what exactly is artisan?
Okay. Artisan are those creative people. In fact, the artisan industry is the second largest industry after agriculture in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's people making things with their hands. And it doesn't really get the recognition for that. And oftentimes these are women who are the sole income for their families and having a way for that, which is so important.
Do you have a brick and mortar, or do you still primarily online?
Yes, I do have a brick and mortar. In fact, I'm on Livernois, 19452 Livernois, Detroit 48221. And we've been there. In fact, we started there as part of the pushing back the Revive Detroit program.
Absolutely.
And the first time they had the Detroit Design Festival, and their goal was to activate 10 spaces. And I was one of four African-American women-owned businesses that located there during that time frame.
And now moving on, 7 miles exploding.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, and that's another thing. They just started construction over there.
They're cleaning out the median over
there,
right?
Oh, my gosh, Mark. It is just, it's torn up. In terms of, like, they've gotten the median out, and it's going to be a two-year project. And so, of course, that's going to impact business. So we're just very, we want to put the word out. We're there. There are beautiful, viable businesses there that are really about supporting you, and meaning the customers.
So our topic at the workshop was navigating the headwinds of change.
Yes.
And I did see that story on the news about them gutting out. So that's another headwind of change that you have to navigate, isn't it?
Yes.
Something as simple as taking, it's not simple, but removing that barrier, that median on Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's a two-year project, so I'm sure that you have an alternative plan to kind of help you navigate that particular headwind of change.
And so that's one of the things that we're working on. That's why I'm here, so glad that I'm here today.
My pleasure.
To tell people about it and to say we're still there while this activity is going on. Viable businesses, businesses that are creative, that people are doing really wonderful things, come still through all of that, because they plan on narrowing the streets, they're widening the sidewalks, but we're still open for business.
You got some great businesses over there, business owners. You have the Bartels, you have you were there, I believe April Anderson from
She was one of the four businesses. The four businesses were Detroit Fiber Works, Good Cakes and Bakes, Art in Motion, and Love Travels Imports.
Wait, are you from Detroit originally?
I am.
What side of town are you from?
West. I can tell you're from there, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm on West side.
West, East.
Hell yeah. Folks heard this a thousand times. Here he goes. Because the next question is, what high school did you go to? You know, what is it? What high school?
Yeah. I went to Rosie.
Okay.
Which is, yeah.
See, here he's looking at me.
West is best, right?
Yeah, matter of fact.
West side.
Matter of fact.
So where I'm going, though, I was early in my life, West Side, but then we spent the majority of my Detroit years in Northwest Detroit.
Ah, okay.
And that was my neighborhood.
Yes.
I don't want to get the street or the address, but we lived off of 7 Mile and Vassar, and I would say 7 Mile Hour Drive.
Yes.
And I remember going up to when it's truly the Avenue of Fashion, there used to be like Grinnell's up there, and the piano store.
That's right, B. Siegel's, which they're doing that development right now.
And it's so cool to see that area come back. And when I'm going to this comment, is that strip has gone up and down, and now it's like boom. And here you are, one of the first four businesses or whatever the case was, and to see what's happening there is incredible.
Yes.
There's an example right there of what the rest of the city can emulate across the different corridors across Detroit.
Making it inviting. Because, I think that, and making it a destination, really, because one of the comments we heard from a lot of the people in the neighborhood, we want to have a whole plethora of things to do when we come to the avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not just one here and then one there. They want to have a whole experience. And so this construction will provide that opportunity. But in the meanwhile, we're still there. We're doing things. We have a variety of different activities planned, for the summer to keep people engaged.
That is outstanding. And I'm glad to hear you say that the people want, you're doing what the people want. That is to have the experience. They want to have an experience. And, Detroit's 139 square miles.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly people can go downtown. They can go to east side, west side, whatever, southwest Detroit. We have a lot of entertainment options in the city. But sometimes people just want to stay in the neighborhood, too.
That's right. But you know what else, too, Mark? One of the things that I hear from my customers oftentimes is that what we offer is beautiful, and it makes a smile. I have so many customers that come back to me and say, you know what, that particular gift that I gave whomever, they loved it. It made them smile. It made them feel good. A lot of times people might not understand it's really about the relationship. These artisans, when they make these beautiful things, they put their love into it. And I believe that people sense that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that when people put on that beautiful handmade scarf from Haiti or that beautiful handbag from South Africa, that person has put this great positive energy into it. And I believe that when that person puts that item on, they're receiving that.
We have a couple minutes remaining together. Mm-hmm. So as we think about, I'm just curious, and I just don't know. That's why I enjoy doing this show, because I learn. You guys teach me.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other artisans across the city of Detroit, particularly African-American-owned artisans, this type of business, or are you one of the select few?
I am.
And if you don't know, that's fine.
Well, I in terms of fair trade, mm-hmm. I'm one of the select few in terms of ethically handmade things. But Detroit has a history of people creating and being creative and making things. In fact, one of my very good friends, I carry her wares, Pat Millender. She is a creative person. She's a local person. And, you know, and touching things and making things. And one of the things that I don't know that we, like the gentleman was talking earlier about different jobs.
Yes.
And but the creative, that is something. Creative expression, that is a form of job and work and the like. And it's it can be viable as well.
Well, in our closing minutes, so I know you said Young Living. Give us the particulars again, like the location, the address, the website, phone number, everything.
We're a 19452 Livernois, Detroit, Michigan, 48221. The website is www.lovetravelsimports.com. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're a little bit on Twitter.
And you told me before we had this interview, though, that you met me a couple years ago, a few years ago, at a program by the Michigan Women Forum called Entrepreneur U.
Yes.
And I think you said you finished second. Is that right?
Right. I was one of the people.
Outstanding.
That was great. During their pitch competition, I love that organization. They definitely support women entrepreneurs, and we are in such a better place because they're around.
Well, Yvette Jenkins, I want to thank you very much for coming. You're a joy. I love your reaction, your passion. We wish you much continued success. I need to get back over there as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Have a wonderful Memorial Day as well.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Doug, my man, I want you to go out, my man, and enjoy the Memorial Day weekend.
You do. You as well, my friend. And enjoy. Now, next week, you'll be doing Mackinac.
Right?
That's right.
I'm leaving Tuesday. Tuesday, I'll be back, I think, Thursday.
Right.
So I'll get a chance to go and hear the cloppy-clops of the horses.
Exactly.
Well, have a wonderful day.
All right. You do the same. Enjoy Memorial Day.
Thank you. We want to wish you all a happy Memorial Day. We will check you out next week on Small Talk with Mark S. Lee. And always in closing, despite the fact they're very young and not winners yet, go Tigers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.